Chapter 11, and our text for this evening and our continuing study of this book is verse 21. Verse 20, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Really, the theme of our message tonight will be the helping hand of God. And how the helping hand of God was with the saints as they went everywhere preaching the word. It was seen as a scandal. It was regarded as being something disgraceful. An awful thing to do. And the Jews at Jerusalem made Peter aware of their feelings. When they told him about the gospel being preached to the Gentiles. You recall last week how we discovered how the Jews very much looked down upon Gentiles. And some of them went very far in their disdain of and so went. To the Gentiles, the Jews had something to do. There in verses 2 and 3 of the chapter 11. And Peter was come up to Jerusalem. They that were of the circumcision contended with him. So this was no quiet conversation. They contended with him, saying, Thou wentest to men uncircumcised, and didst eat with them. And so you can see where they were coming from. They contended with him. He had ministered on to the Gentiles, and they had actually eaten with them and had them eat with him. They challenged him, and they did more. They confronted him, as we've said, and they pressed him for an explanation. They wanted to know why he had gone and preached the gospel to the Gentiles. And that, of course, gave Peter an opportunity to rehearse the matter from the beginning and expound it by order unto them. Verse 4. He told them about the message he received from the Lord by way of a vision. He told them about the men who came to him from Barnabas, requesting his services. He told them about his meeting in the house of Cornelius. He told them about the ministry of the Holy Spirit there, bringing salvation to all who were gathered there in the house of Cornelius, that home of that Gentile. And how the Spirit of God fell upon all who heard his word. After he had rehearsed the whole wonderful story, we're told in verse 18, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. So the Lord had opened a great and an effectual door to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentile world. And that opportunity was made full use of by Peter and by others also. If God opened the door, then Peter and others would enter through that door and make full use of the opportunity. And their task, of course, was to bring the gospel to every creature. Every creature. And that task had now begun. The word had not only been preached to the Jews, now the great work had begun of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and to every creature throughout the world. And behold, the next great move of the Spirit of God in and through the gospel took place among the Gentiles, and especially in the city of Antioch. If you note it there, as we read through that passage of Scripture from verses 19 to the end of the chapter, the number of times that the city of Antioch was mentioned. And so you can see where the focus was. It was in Antioch. We read about it there in Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, verse 19. Antioch is mentioned again in verse 20. Antioch is mentioned in verse 22, in verse 26, and verse at the end of verse 26 and 27. So you see where the emphasis was, where the Lord wanted the word of God preached, and the work would be established in Antioch. And the Lord established a church there, and the Lord saved souls there, and believers gathered there for to worship the Lord. So let us look at this great move of God, this breaking up of new ground, going to new cities, and towns, and villages where the gospel had never gone before. And this was done, first of all, you will notice there, by the scattered saints of God. We're told that in verse 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only." And then we read in the next verse, "And some of them, some of the scattered saints, were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them." There had been a scattering of the saints. We're reminded of that here in the words we have just read. And it came about through the persecution that followed the stoning of Stephen. And you recall in Acts chapter 8, and there in verses 2, 3, and 4, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and healing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." We come to chapter 11 of Acts, and we see that is exactly what the scattered saints did. They went everywhere preaching the word. This was, of course, as the result, first of all, of the persecution. The persecuting of the believers in the church there at Jerusalem. We're told because of the persecution in Acts 8 and 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Others, we're told, went elsewhere. And you'll notice, Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them. Some of the scattered saints went to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word unto them. Some of them went to Cyrene and Antioch, preaching the Lord Jesus unto them. And you notice the one common denominator. Wherever these saints went, they brought the word of God with them. Wherever they were scattered, whatever town they went into, whatever village they were in, whatever district or area they went into those places with the word. In the persecution, they were scattered abroad with the word of the Lord. In other words, the burning embers they took with them from the fire that had been kindled in Jerusalem. And they took those burning embers from that spiritual fire that was ignited in Jerusalem, and wherever they went, they took the burning embers with them, namely the word of God. And they started another fire. And they preached the word. And another fire began to burn, and souls were saved, and churches were established. through the scattered saints and their preaching of the word. It was the word of the Lord. It was the word of the Lord that brought about the persecuting of the saints. But these scattered saints did not leave the word of the Lord behind them. It brought about persecution in Jerusalem. But they were not ashamed to bring the word of the Lord with them, wherever they went. The psalmist says, Psalm 119 and verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." And there were those in these places where the scattered saints went to. And they were sitting in nature's darkness. They were Gentiles. They'd never received the gospel before. They'd never heard of Jesus Christ and his atoning death and his shed blood and his sufferings there on Calvary. They were breaking new ground. They were pioneers in the work of God. And they were pioneers that brought with them the sword of the Spirit. They brought the word of the Lord with them, and they preached the word of the Lord unto those who sat in darkness, those that were bound in spiritual darkness. And when the word of the Lord enters someone's heart and enters into the soul, suddenly the darkness disappears, and they're no longer in darkness, they're now in the light, namely the light of the word and the light of the world, who is Jesus. The entrance of thy word giveth light. And for all who sit in darkness today, and there are many, there are countless thousands, yea, millions, and they're sitting in darkness, and they're passing way into outer darkness every day, every hour, and many of them have never been told about Jesus Christ. Many of them have never heard about the Savior of men. And this would encourage us, believer, that wherever we go, let us bring the word of the Lord with us. We can bring and have a handful of tracts in a purse or in our pocket. And wherever we go, we can leave a tract in a restaurant, or wherever we may be, we bring the word of the Lord with us, just as the scattered saints did. And what did it result in? It resulted in souls being saved. So we need to scatter the word and bring the word of God with us wherever we go. And then we notice also not only the word of the Lord here, but the will of the Lord. Let's remember again the words of verse 19. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." And we know the fate of Stephen, how he was stoned to death. We're just talking about that the other day with some friends. When someone was stoned to death, they were buried in the ground with their arms tied down to their side, with only the shoulders and their head appearing. And then people would come with their stones, and they would stone that poor individual who was buried in the ground up to their shoulders. You can imagine they didn't last very long. Stephen was stoned to death. Whether that was the method they used then or not, nevertheless, it would have been a horrifying death. Stephen described it, or Luke described it, as sleeping. Stephen fell asleep in the Lord. Here was a young man with, as we would say, a bright future, a godly young man. One of the men chosen to serve tables. He had great ability. He was a holy man and a godly man. And yet here we find his life is snuffed out. in a horrific way. Yet, the sovereign Lord allowed that to happen. He allowed Stephen to be stoned to death. He allowed Stephen to be taken away and to be removed from the scene. And sometimes we cannot understand why the Lord allows things to happen. Why did he allow Stephen to be stoned to death? We think of the likes of Robert Murray McShane and David Brainard. Godly men, mighty men of God, who accomplished more in 30 years than many another servant of the Lord has accomplished in 60 years. And yet, the lives of these men, their candle was snuffed out at the age of 30. And we say, why? And why was Stephen stoned to death at such a young age? It's hard to understand, isn't it? Things happen today that we don't understand. Writing from his prison cell, the Apostle Paul sent word to the believers at Philippi. And this is what Paul wrote. "But I would ye should understand, brethren." So here was something that the brethren didn't understand. Remember, Paul's writing from prison? And there's something here that they didn't understand. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me," my imprisonment, "have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." The word "furtherance" means advancement. "The things that have happened unto me, the persecution I have suffered, the imprisonment. You should understand, brethren, that the Lord has permitted this, the Lord has allowed this to happen for the furtherance of the gospel." That was why the Lord allowed Paul to be arrested and put in prison. And he wanted the believers to understand this. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing takes place that is beyond the control of the plan and the purpose of God. And Paul was imprisoned for the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. And Stephen was stoned to death and the Lord permitted it. It was all in the Lord's plan and purpose. Why did he allow it to happen? It was for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what we're told. "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen." The Apostle Paul later wrote to the believers at Rome, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." And you and I know, believer, that is difficult to get a hold of sometimes. It's easy to quote the words, but it's a very different thing to accept when things go against us. It is hard for us when things go against us, at least in our eyes. We might say with Jacob, "All these things are against me." It is hard for us to really take to heart those words, "For all things work together for good. To them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose." And yet, if we believe the Bible, we must accept these words and ask the Lord to give us grace to accept them and accept our circumstances and to see them in this light. Well, what is the Lord's purpose in allowing this to happen to me? What is the Lord's plan? What does he have planned for me when he has allowed this to happen? That's what Paul was saying. You should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. And the stoning of Stephen worked out to the furtherance or the advancement of the gospel. It was really through Stephen's death that the saints were scattered. They obviously didn't want to be stoned to death either. And they were scattered, and we're told in Acts 8 and 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. So we have the persecution. It was the persecution that brought about this scattering. Next we notice the places that they went to. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen travelled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. You see just how far abroad they went. They were scattered abroad. They were scattered abroad, and it says they went as far as Phoenice and Cyprus, that is the island of Cyprus, crossed over from the mainland to Cyprus with the gospel, and to the city of Antioch. Antioch. Antioch's 200 miles north of Jerusalem. They were scattered abroad. The Lord had told the apostles and the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, 200 miles seems a fair distance. I wouldn't like to be walking 200 miles. Well, that's what they had to do. But really, when you think of it, it's only a step compared to going into all the world with the gospel. But it was the first step. That's it. And on a great journey, the first step must be taken. The city of Antioch, as we've said, was 200 miles north of Jerusalem. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire and had a population of some 200,000. It was a city of false religions where the most licentious forms of worship imaginable were carried on. And yet, it was there that the Lord was going to establish a church. The Lord was going to establish a witness for himself in Antioch, a sinful and wicked city, a city of false religion and false prophets and false teaching. It wasn't a city that the Lord avoided, but rather it was a city that the Lord directed his scattered saints to. Turn, please, to Revelation. And this shows us that no place is too hard for the Lord. For the Lord to build his church and for the Lord to establish a witness. Revelation chapter 2. And there we read about the church in Pergamos. Verse 12, Revelation 2 and 12. And to the angel, or the servant of the church in Pergamos. So there's a church in Pergamos. What was Pergamos like? These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. And in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Where Satan's seat is, yet the Lord established the church there. Now we can say this town is a hard town. Other brethren can say where their church is, it's a hard place, it's a hard city, it's a hard location. But we can see here how the Lord established the church in Pergamos where Satan dwelleth. The Lord is always the conqueror. Satan did not keep God out of Pergamos. Satan did not keep God out of Antioch, but God established a church there. And we can say he established a church there because the hand of the Lord was on the work. The hand of the Lord was in the work. The hand of the Lord was helping those who had gone there to preach the word and to preach Christ. It was there that the scattered saints went preaching the word and preaching the Lord Jesus. Notice also that some of the scattered saints were men of Cyprus. And the word of God was taken to Cyprus. And so what do we have here? We have here men who went home with the gospel. They returned home and they brought the gospel with them. And if they were going to begin the great work of spreading the good news of the gospel, what better place to start than at home? That's what they did. They went home with the gospel. Isn't that where the Savior told Legion to begin his witness? As you know, Legion wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to be a missionary and go with them wherever the Savior would go preaching. Legion wanted to go with them. But the Lord said, Legion, no. No, Legion. Go home. Go home to thy friends and tell them. You have people at home who need to be told. And now that you have got saved, now you have been delivered, you need to go home and tell them that you've got saved. You need to go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. They need to go home first. And the men of Cyprus went home with the message of the gospel. Because they had family and friends and loved ones and neighbors there who needed to hear the word. So it is with us. That's where evangelism begins. It begins at home first. That's where our witness begins. It begins at home. As the Lord instructed Legion. No, go home to thy friends and tell them. Tell them. You notice also the preaching. There's the persecution that scattered the saints. They went to these places. And when they went there, they went to preach. For we are told, and they traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. And again, verse 20, they preached unto the Grecians the Lord Jesus. Notice, in both verses, you had the preaching. That's how they spread the message of the gospel. That was their method, preaching. The method used by the saints as they sought to win souls for Christ and to establish churches was preaching. Then we read that in Acts 8 and verse 4, that they went everywhere preaching the word. Here in verses 19 and 20, they went to these places preaching the word. Sadly, many today have abandoned that method. They've abandoned that method of spreading the word. I was talking to a brother on Friday night, downstairs after the school concert. That's what we're talking about. Today it's no longer the preaching. Many churches today, it's PowerPoint presentations. Today it's discussion groups. Today it's drama. You get the gospel across through drama. When we're talking about the Lord's day, curtain, as I said to her brother, it's no longer the pulpit that is the focus of attention. It's the stage. It's the stage. And it's no longer a preacher in the pulpit. It's an actor. Here you have the scattered saints, and they went everywhere preaching the word. They were going to win the Gentiles for Christ, and how were they going to do it? What method did they adopt? Preaching. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Why isn't God's word right up to date? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, because many today look upon preaching as foolishness. No, you need to move with the times. We need to use all these electronic devices and whatever. That's the way you go today. Oh, Paul told Timothy, preach the word. It was good enough for Paul and good enough for Timothy. It's good enough for me. It's good enough for us. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. In other words, Timothy, not everybody's going to accept what you preach. Not everybody's going to take in what you preach. Not everybody's going to like what you preach. But Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach the word anyway. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. And as far as the scattered saints were concerned, they began as they meant to go on. For as they went everywhere preaching the word, any churches that would have been established through their witness and through their preaching would have been preaching churches. They would have gathered in a people to those churches who responded to the preaching of the saints. And if they responded to the preaching of the saints, they would have said, this is what we want. We have heard the word preached. That's what we want from here on. Unfortunately, today, as was said, not many want preaching. Want all these other things that makes them feel good. Like that man that told Mr. Wagner, I didn't get a fuzzy feeling when I came to your church. Didn't get a fuzzy feeling. Because you see, today people don't like to be told about their sin. They don't like to be told about the need to live a life of holiness. They need to turn their back upon the world. No. But here the churches that were established by preaching. Souls were saved by preaching. That was their method. Look at their message. What a wonderful message they had. Preaching the word and preaching the Lord Jesus. And there are dear souls living in different locations in North America, and they would give anything. We have heard from them. They would give anything to have a church that they could attend, where they would hear the preaching of the word and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Now just think of that. Think of being in a town or a city somewhere where there was no church that you felt you could go to. There was no gospel preaching church. There was no church that preached Christ. Can you imagine what it would be like? Sitting at home every Lord's Day. Having nowhere to go. There are many like that. And they have nowhere to go. They long to be able to attend a preaching church. They long to be able to attend a church that preaches Christ. They have a spiritual craving for the food they need for their souls. They want a church where their children can be taught the Word of God, where their children can grow up listening to the preaching of the Word and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And you know, a minister cannot truly preach the Word without preaching Christ. A man is not preaching the Word if he doesn't preach Christ. He's not preaching the Word. Because Christ is the Word. He is the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Christ is the Word. And so if you preach the Word, you must preach Christ. And that's what these scattered saints did. They went everywhere preaching the Word, and in so doing they preached Christ. And people responded to it. And the people who heard it got saved. A great number of sinners believed and turned unto the Lord, because the hand of the Lord was with them. I tell you, the hand of the Lord will always be with you when you preach the Word and you preach Christ. So we have the scattered saints, and then we have the saved souls. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. The preaching of the Word and the preaching of Jesus Christ brought forth fruit. And it always will. And here we see, first of all, the Lord's greatness. Look at that phrase, the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord surely speaks to us of God's greatness. For he has a strong arm and he has a strong hand. Speaks of his greatness. It would be better for us to have the hand of the Lord with us, as the scattered saints had. And what we read in Deuteronomy 2 and verse 15, the hand of the Lord was against them. Better to have the hand of the Lord with you than the hand of the Lord against you. And there we see an example of the divine hand of greatness and power. And when the scattered saints went forth everywhere preaching the Word and preaching Christ, it was the fulfillment of a promise that the Lord had made to them. We go back into Mark's Gospel. Here was the promise that the Lord gave his disciples. Mark 16 and verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached. There's it again. Preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. The Lord working with them. And here we read in verse 21 of Acts 11, the hand of the Lord was with them. What the Lord promised to do, he did it. And you look at the hand of the Lord, first of all, we can see it as the working hand of God. They would have accomplished very little had the hand of the Lord not been working with them. We may be able to do without the working hand of our fellow man. We may be able to struggle on and do whatever task we have to do without the helping hand of our fellow man. But in the Lord's work, we need the hand of the Lord with us. We need the hand of the Lord working with us. Because what did the Lord say to his disciples? He said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." So that means we'd accomplish nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. We need the hand of the Lord with us, working with us. Those words, without me. Without me you can do nothing. Those words, without me, have the meaning, severed from me. If you work as someone severed from me, if you work apart from me, you'll do nothing. That's what the Lord is saying. Leave me out of your work, cut me off from your work, and you'll accomplish nothing. Does that show us how much we need the hand of the Lord working with us? Consider what one man accomplished with the hand of the Lord working with him. Would you turn, please, to Ezra? The book of Ezra. Ezra and Nehemiah are two wonderful books about the work of God. Ezra was used by the Lord to build again the temple. Babylonians had destroyed it and he was building it up again. Nehemiah then came along and built the walls and erected the gates that had been broken down. Now how were these men going to do anything, accomplish anything? In their own strength, they needed the hand of the Lord working with them. Look at Ezra chapter 7. Verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests, listen, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. There you have the hand of the Lord upon Ezra, speaking to us of acceptance. The king allowed Ezra to go and do this work. That's acceptance. Go down to verse 9 of the same chapter. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. There's his arrival. He arrived in Jerusalem according to the good hand of the Lord. Couldn't have done that without the good hand of the Lord. He wouldn't have made it without the good hand of the Lord. Same chapter, go down to verse 28. And hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Listen, I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. There you have his ability. You have his acceptance according to the good hand of the Lord upon him. You have his arrival according to the good hand of the Lord upon him. You have his ability. The Lord gave him ability to do the work, to strengthen him in the work, according to the good hand of the Lord upon them. Look at chapter 8 of Ezra, and verse 18. And by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, of the sons of Malai, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and Sherebiah with his sons and his brethren, 18. These were men who were going to help Ezra do the work. And that was again according to the hand of the Lord upon him. The Lord give him the men, the associates, men of wisdom, to do the work. According to the hand of the Lord upon him. Finally, chapter 8 of Ezra and verse 22. And I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. In other words, Ezra was saying, like to ask the king for soldiers to escort us and his horsemen, because we had already told the king, the hand of the Lord is upon us. And so what did Ezra do? We're told that he prayed and fasted and sought the face of his God, and he was entreated of us. So much so that he didn't need the king's help. Why? Because the hand of the Lord was upon him. It's important for us to have the hand of the Lord with us, the hand of the Lord upon us. None of this could have been accomplished by Ezra with the hand of the Lord with him. As well as the scattered saints having them with them, the working hand of the Lord, they also enjoyed the willing hand of the Lord. That ties in with what we have just read there in Ezra. For Ezra said that the hand of the Lord would be with all those who would seek the face of God and would seek to do the will of God. That's what Ezra said. That's what he told the king. And that indicates to us the willing hand of God. The Christian that genuinely seeks the Lord, and genuinely seeks to do a work for the Lord will with great willingness give that Christian the help of hand. He'll not have to labor alone. He'll have the hand of the Lord. And the saints willingly left home, willingly left Jerusalem, and went everywhere preaching the word. And you know something, the hand of the Lord went with them. The Lord was willing to help them in the work of spreading the gospel and the good news of the gospel. The Lord did not withdraw his hand from them and leave them to labor alone, but rather his hand was with them, working with them, and it was the willing hand. And dear Christian, whatever we do for the Lord, do in his name, the Lord's hand will be with us. We can be assured of that. And when the going gets tough, and we face disappointments, and we have disappointments, don't forget the hand of the Lord is still with you. And he's still working with you. As the hand of the Lord was upon Ezra, so his hand is upon us. As the hand of the Lord was with the scattered saints, so the hand of the Lord is with us. There you have that hand of the Lord that speaks to us of the Lord's greatness. The hand of the Lord also speaks of the Lord's grace. His greatness and his grace. For we cannot describe it any other way than the grace of God. The hand of the Lord was with them and a great number believed. That's grace. A great number of the Gentiles are saved by grace. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they went everywhere preaching the word. And if those Gentile sinners were to be saved, they had to be saved through the word. Hearing the word. They could not be saved if they didn't hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They not only preach the word, but they preach Christ. What did the Savior say? If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up. That's the task. That's not just the task. That's the delight. That's my delight. To preach Christ, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And when these brethren went out and preached the word and preached Christ, a great number believed. The grace of God was seen in the salvation of souls. Doesn't this encourage us then to continue preaching the word, to continue preaching Christ, and continue spreading the good news of the gospel? And then there's also there the Lord's gain. I like that verse. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Remember, this was a city of false gods, false religion, false worship. It was a sinful and wicked city, like many cities are. But here souls were brought savingly to Christ. That's the Lord's gain. The devil had been robbed of souls. Hell had been robbed of souls. Christ gained many souls. They turned on to the Lord. That speaks to us of repentance. They believed and turned on to the Lord. They believed and turned away from their sin. That's not a message that's popular today. People think that they can be a Christian and have their sin. That's why they don't like the preaching of repentance, turning away from their sin. If we believe, then there must be a turning on to Christ, turning away from sin. That only speaks of repentance, this gain. It speaks of a rescue. They've been rescued from their false religion, their false gods, their false worship. They had been rescued from their sin and brought savingly to Christ. The scattered saints and the saved souls. And then we read, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. We met with Barnabas before, a man who befriended Saul of Tarsus. For Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And that'll be our subject for next week. The ministry of Barnabas to those who had just got saved and had come to a saving knowledge of Christ through the ministry of those scattered saints. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious Father, we bless Thee for the power of the gospel. We thank Thee, Lord, for the power of the blood. When Christ is preached, souls are saved. And O Lord, we're glad of that wonderful message that we have to preach. We preach Christ and Him crucified. O Lord, have us wherever we go to bring the word with us, even as the scattered saints brought the word with them. Eternal Father, write this word upon our hearts. And again, Lord, we pray that we'll meditate upon it and think about it and take it to heart as the Spirit of God applies it to us. Our Lord, be with us. We thank Thee for this Sabbath day. We thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy presence. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. Keep us, Lord, near to Thee. Keep us, Lord, on the straight path. Yea, the path of righteousness for Thy name's sake. And are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.